All right. Now convened the December 10, 2013 special magistrate proceeding for red light camera violations to order. We'll call the meeting to order. Do you have any announcements before I proceed?
Yes, sir, Mr. McAlger. We do have one case that's been resolved on the agenda, and it is case number or item number 14. Citation 0160151326 for Carolyn Gilbert. That has been resolved. It's been taken care of.
All right. Mr. City Attorney, let me ask you to go to the podium so you and I can talk for a minute. All right, at the last meeting, we had the case of the City of Daytona Beach versus U.S. Transportation Leasing Company, LLC. That company, King, was present, had a representative here, as well as an attorney. And the argument that was made at that point in time was that while if you approached an intersection at which right turns were permitted, you weren't necessarily required to stop in all instances. You could negotiate your way continuously through a turn as long as it could be done in a careful and prudent manner. Is that about what you would call them arguing?
Yes, that's correct.
And they specifically went on to argue that with regard to the enabling legislation that we're dealing with here, that being the red light camera legislation, that legislation acknowledged that you could do so.
That's correct. That's what they argue.
The city's response to that was a traditional statute that basically calls for everyone to stop before entering into intersections.
That's correct.
The difference between the two enactments is the red light camera legislation was specific to red light camera cases.
Yes.
Now, I've studied their memorandum, your memorandum. I've read both of them repeatedly. In your memorandum, you acknowledge the respondent properly notes the short title to the initial bill in 2010 states prohibiting the use of such detectors to enforce a violation when the driver fails to stop prior to making the right or left turn. So the context that we're talking about these right turns being made is in the context of using red light detectors to enforce a violation as opposed to testimony of an officer.
That's correct.
So that's the distinction. Note the legislative text on page 3 of your memo. The legislative text regarding right-hand turns does not prohibit such citations. Language is not a prohibition. It is a conditional restriction as to when such violation or citation may be issued by the agency. So the agency can enforce a violation, witness, for lack of a better word, by a red light camera. As long as the turn, if the turn is not made in a careful and prudent manner. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, that's right.
If the turn is made in a careful and prudent manner, then no enforcement of the ticket.
By the camera. I mean, it's still unlawful. It's enforced by an officer, but not by the camera.
These are all red light camera cases.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
I presume in the case of U.S. Transportation, I don't recall there being any testimony by a law enforcement officer.
That's correct.
That he witnessed this turn, that he opined that it was not done in a careful and prudent manner.
That's correct.
You go on to write, without clear evidence that the turn was in a careful and prudent manner, the violation issues, and it becomes the burden of the owner to show that such burden was met. Without clear evidence that the turn was in a careful and prudent manner. And typically, as I understand it, the only evidence that we have presented to us is whatever we see on the video.
That's correct.
So whether it's the city's proof, if you will, or the respondent's proof, if you will, absent one or the other showing up with live testimony, that's the universe of the evidence that's taken into consideration. Now, I take that back. The respondent could testify, I performed it in a careful and prudent manner. There were no cars coming, there were no pedestrians in the area, there were no bicyclists in the area, no one across the way was making a U-turn, so I made it in a careful and prudent manner.
And it would be a determination of a finder of fact if that's consistent with what's being adjourned by the finder of fact, but yes.
And a lot of that evidence, whether it exists or not, would never be known because from my recollection of what I've seen to date, the camera only presents certain angles. It doesn't give you a whole view of an entire intersection. In a lot of instances, it doesn't give you a panoramic view of the intersection from which a third person, such as a special magistrate, can see for himself whether there were pedestrians, bicyclists, U-turners, oncoming traffic, things of that nature.
I don't necessarily agree. I agree that it, in many of the circumstances, doesn't give a full view, but I also would say that the circumstances vary so much that sometimes you may, sometimes you may not.
Fair enough. You write, in the case of Barr, the reviewer did not determine that the turn was done in a careful and prudent manner. Who's the reviewer you're talking about there?
The traffic enforcement infraction officer. That's the officer that reviews it and ultimately writes the ticket.
Yet whether it was in fact done in a careful and prudent manner is a question of fact that the special magistrate could resolve.
That would be, I think it's that's consistent with what was argued as well by Mr. Burnett, that it's rebuttable presumption that it's a violation until they rebut it with that type of evidence of the careful and prudent.
And in fact, you go on to write, it is not the city's burden to show the violator was careless and imprudent. Why not?
It's not the city's burden to show that, to show bad conduct. The burden of the city is to show that the violator did not stop with a continuous red light. And the violator's burden is to show that, well, even though I didn't stop, I was careful and prudent when I kept going.
All right. Well, this is, in any event, as it turns out, violators or motorists aren't necessarily required to stop before making right turns, are they?
Yes, they are. If there is continuous red light under three...
Sorry, let me rephrase that. If a motorist is going to be cited for a red light camera case, and that turn has been made in a careful and prudent manner, then they're not liable for that citation.
The citation issued as a result of the red light camera review, that's correct.
So the point is, everyone's required to stop. It's a question of how the ticket comes about. If a policeman is standing there and sees somebody roll through a stop sign making a right turn, he's at liberty to issue that ticket. And then all those presumptions and all those burdens that you just mentioned come into play. When you're relying on a camera to issue a ticket, for lack of a better word, there are certain constraints on the admissibility of that evidence as far as enforcement of that violation. Most notably, if the respondent can satisfy the trier of fact that it was a careful and prudent maneuver, then he's not liable for the citation under the red light camera legislation.
I would agree with that. I think
once again, we're here on red light camera cases.
Yes, and I would agree with that, Mr. Vakelja. I think the threshold question and the threshold becomes a different measure in different jurisdictions. Some do it based on speed. Some do it based, and it's not based on actually a physical thing, a physical obstruction, but the manner in which the turn is being made.
You say it is not the city's burden to show the violator was careless or imprudent. Are you talking about under 316.075, or are you talking about under the red light camera legislation?
I'm talking about under the red light camera legislation, and that's the burden shifts to the violator to show that they were careful and prudent, but it's not a burden to show initially that they were not careful. The burden to show initially is that they failed to stop at a continuous red light. As the statute makes all of this in subsection 1A, all related specifically to 316.0741 and 316.0751C1, which specifically 0751C1, which is the requirement for stopping at a continuous red light.
You say instead the city's responsibility is to utilize the standards given in the statute to determine whether the turn was careful and prudent before citing the violator. What are the standards given in the statute?
I think I made reference to the careless driving statute specifically, which is one place in the motor vehicle statutes where it shows where it's actually that language appears careful and prudent manners. And without me looking at it, I'd have to look to see what specifically what I quoted there, but I made that available as far as looking at all those various factors of the manner in which it's made, the conditions and so forth when someone's making a turn.
And quite. First off, I don't know if I'm doing the respondent a disservice by even having this conversation with you. They've obviously contested it. My recollection, all right, so if I understand it, focusing on U.S. transportation, and we're going through this because this is going to impact a number of these things here right now.
Yes, sir.
As I understand, U.S. transportation had a vehicle. As I recall the video, it was a slow turn through a red light. I don't recall it being a particularly aggressive move. It seemed like it was a slow roll through a red light, turning right at an intersection at which red light turns were permitted. All of it caught on the red light camera, and the red light camera was the mechanism by which the citation was issued. Is that correct so far?
That's correct.
So the red light camera is the mechanism by which the citation is issued, then we go back to that statute. Under that statute, it's presumed that the turn was not made in a careful and prudent manner. Am I correct on that still? There's a presumption that you keep talking about that arises.
Yes, okay.
It says it wasn't careful and prudent.
That's correct.
That's a rebuttable presumption.
That's correct.
And I presume it would be rebutted by a respondent who would say, assuming the camera didn't give us a panoramic view, that there were no hazards in the area at the time. There was no jeopardy to any oncoming traffic, bicyclists, pedestrians, U-turners, or anything of that nature. That would be the evidence that one would present in response to that rebuttable presumption.
Well, I think the interesting part of that, Mr. Vakelja, is that there's two terms. It's not only careful, it's careful and prudent. And the measure, I don't believe it's a measure that's laid against whether or not an actual obstruction is there, but whether it's prudent to proceed with the potential of that obstruction or that danger to the public being there. And so to not overlook the language that follows that sentence, which is the language that speaks of stopping as you approach, and I think that I addressed in my memo as well, as you approach that turn, any stop along the way became adequate to satisfy a reviewer that someone has taken the necessary care or prudence.
That's under the other statute, is it not?
No, that's under the same statute. That's just the next sentence in the statute.
So you're telling me the only way you can negotiate such a turn in a careful and prudent manner is to still come to a stop at some point?
That's my position, yes, and that's what I believe the legislature intended with that additional language, which was an effort to be a corrective language, as I indicated and suggested through the legislative summary as they discussed it there as well, to try aid in establishing a threshold measure of what would you call careful and prudent. Stop anywhere along the way, and you're now careful and prudent. You fail to stop, and how could it be prudent to continue?
All right, well, in this memo, quoting 316.0083, the photographic or electronic images or streaming video attached to or referenced in the traffic citation, which they are, is evidence that a violation of 316.0741 or 316.0751C1, I assume that should be occurred, when the driver failed to stop at a traffic signal has occurred and is admissible in any proceeding to enforce this section, and raises a rebuttable presumption that the motor vehicle named in the report or shown in the photographic or electronic images was used in violation of those statutes when the driver failed to stop at a traffic signal. Goes on to say, notice of violation and a traffic citation may not be issued for failure to stop at a red light if the driver is making a right-hand turn in a careful and prudent manner at an intersection where right-hand turns are permissible. You're telling me you're interpreting that to mean you still have to come to a complete stop?
The language that follows, yes, I'm telling you that my perspective is that the term, the phrase there of importance is careful and prudent manner for the turn. And the prudence of turning without stopping with the potential of the hazards to pedestrians, to bicyclists, to other motor vehicles would not be careful and prudent. That's...
But my point is we have two legislative standards here when it comes to the quantum of proof that's going to be taken into consideration in enforcement of these types of tickets. If there's a policeman there and sees somebody take a slow roll through a red light, that's a ticket, bam, a gun, over. No more discussion about it, correct?
That's correct.
When it's a red light camera, we have these qualifiers we have to deal with, correct?
That's I would agree, yes, sir.
And you're saying that you're going to define careful and prudent to mean you need to stop, period.
I'm saying that the additional language that was added, to me, looked to be corrective language and suggest, even through the legislative summary, to be language to establish an aid and a threshold to the determination of what's careful and prudent before making that right-hand turn.
The very next provision goes on to say, this section supplements the enforcement of the statutes that you're referring to by law enforcement officers when a driver fails to stop at a traffic signal and does not prohibit a law enforcement officer from issuing a traffic citation for violation of those statutes when a driver fails to stop at a traffic signal in accordance with normal traffic enforcement techniques. So, once again, it appears as though there's a distinction to be made between the evidence that will suffice in a red light camera case as opposed to a witnessing policeman.
I think the simplicity of the determination changes when it's a law enforcement officer versus when it's a red light camera. And it's clear that the camera can't utilize the discretion that an officer would use. And it makes a lot of sense for there to be or at least to support a perspective that says that, well, when a red light camera is trying to use discretion, it can't. But that's why I believe the corrective legislation was to aid in saying, okay, let's not no longer rely on a camera. We know it can't make that distinction. Many jurisdictions have acknowledged and accepted that. Nevertheless, they continue with right on return violations with thresholds, some of them with measurements of speed, others, that's the most common one, others with no policy or rule that determines that basis other than a reviewer's view of the turn. In this situation, I believe it's, we're forced to have to rely on a, and I say reviewer, and then I'm talking about, in that sense, the finder of facts view of the turn. And I feel that ultimately we're left to rely on a finder of fact, but reasoning still the consideration of the phrase careful and prudent, and looking at that in relationship to the way it's used in the Florida statute, specifically with careless driving, but also just in general, understanding that terminology.
Well, what do you think they meant when they said, let's assume they have a red light camera legislation in place, and they say you're not going to enforce these tickets if it's a right turn at an intersection that permits it and it's been conducted in a reasonable and prudent manner? If they wanted to say, but you still have to stop, they could have said, but you still have to stop. But they didn't say that. So what do you think they meant when they said reasonable and prudent manner?
Well,
in the context of a red light camera case?
Certainly. I believe, Mr. Kelger, that when they went to the next paragraph, and again, it was additional language just added in the July legislation, then they did say that you have to stop.
Okay, what are you talking about?
The language that continues after what we've read before, and I'm looking here. I'm in 1A, 316.0083, 1A, and you've read the portion regarding careful and prudent. So, driver making a right-hand turn in a careful. Okay.
I've got a copy attached to Mr. Burnett's memorandum. Is that?
You're I'm not sure that's sufficient.
316.0083. This says 2013 Florida statutes. If you want to hand me something, I'll look at it.
Yeah, I believe it's the same one, but so I don't know we're looking at the same thing.
It's the same. All right, so tell me what you're looking at.
Okay, I'm looking at 316.0083, subsection 1A, and the sentence following the sentence that you referenced, which would be about the third sentence that appears. And if we want to go to the one where you're referencing, a notice of violation of the traffic citation may not be issued for failure to stop at a red light if the driver is making a right-hand turn in a careful and prudent manner at an intersection where right-hand turns are permissible. Then the next sentence says this: a notice of violation and a traffic citation may not be issued under this section if the driver of the vehicle came to a complete stop after crossing the stop line and before turning right if permissible at a red light. But failing to stop before crossing over the stop line or other point at which a stop is required. And to me, that sentence is a corrective sentence, giving a little more clarity to the standard for what needs to happen before someone makes a right turn.
Okay, the preceding sentence says, a notice of violation and a traffic citation may not be issued for failure to stop at a red light. When it says failure to stop at a red light, that tells me nobody stopped. If the driver is making right-hand turn in a careful and prudent manner at an intersection where right-hand turns are permissible. It does go on to say, a notice of violation and traffic citation may not be issued under the section if the driver of the vehicle came to a complete stop after crossing. So that sentence tells me if you go beyond the stop bar and then you stop before making your turn, okay, that to me indicates we're finding as a matter of legislation that that's a careful and prudent turn. I don't understand why I don't interpret that to mean. Okay. All right, in any event, your interpretation is you got to stop. If you didn't stop at the stop bar, you got to stop before you go through the intersection. And if you don't stop, you haven't negotiated that term in a careful and prudent manner.
That's correct.
And the speed of the vehicle, pedestrian traffic in the vicinity, vehicular traffic in the vicinity, those things don't matter.
They do matter, but they're not the sole determinant. I mean, if none of those things, it doesn't...
Let me rephrase that. The absence of pedestrian traffic, the absence of bicyclists, the absence of other vehicles in the intersection or coming perilously close to entering the intersection, the absence of those items cannot satisfy a careful and prudent negotiation of a right in turn.
That's my position. That's, yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm going to basically announce, if you will, the ruling on the City of Daytona Beach versus U.S. Transportation Leasing. Red light cameras are a huge asset. They, I'm sure, contribute unbelievably to improving the safety on our highways. That having been said, there are also constitutional constraints that come into play when you're going to accuse anybody of anything, specifically with regard to a violation of the law. The red light cameras and the legislation that creates them create an opportunity for citations to be issued, and they even factor in some shortcuts as far as the government's burden of proof by creating rebuttable presumption. But at the same time, the red light camera does not replace a law enforcement officer. It does not replace a human being who's on site who can assess the entire situation. There are constraints to the view of the camera. There are constraints to the angles of the camera. There are constraints as far as what it is able to recreate, depict, or record as far as the surrounding circumstances that may be extremely pertinent and relevant to whether or not a careful and prudent turn has been accomplished. The issue to be resolved, or the issues to be resolved, is, was this an intersection in which a right-hand turn was permitted? Yes. Did I consider the video? I did. Was the right-hand turn done in a careful and prudent manner? On the basis of what I saw and on the basis of what I could see, all I could say is that the answer is yes. I didn't see any hazards or hazardous situations or intervening hazardous events. And in addition to that, I'm holding the city to the task of providing all the evidence necessary to make a comprehensive determination. And by that I mean, if that camera angle had allowed me to see a pedestrian who abruptly stopped before entering that street because that man was negotiating a turn, I'd have done something different. If that camera angle had allowed me to see another car making the lawful U-turn right in front of it, that it at all, that might have been something different. But I've got to believe that there is some discretion retained here for the purpose of determining whether a turn was negotiated in a careful and prudent manner. And on the basis of what I saw and the constraints of the red light camera cases, I'm finding that with regard to City of Daytona Beach versus U.S. Transportation Leasing Company, LLC, I'm finding that the respondent is not liable.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now we're going to proceed with this morning's agenda. Matthew Reiner.
There's a couple of cases to
call. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Number.
We need to call a couple cases out of order. William Davidson. Whoever's here on William Davidson, please come forward.
Yeah, Mrs. Davidson, we could keep them separate.
All right. I've already heard from Mr. Davidson. And who are you?
I'm Tammy Davidson.
Come on.
Could you state your name, please?
Tammy Davidson.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, as I recall, let me ask you where we left off.
Ms. McKelvey, where we left off is that this was a case where the city received an affidavit from the initial person who was cited. The person initially cited was Tammy Davidson. She is the person on the registration. I'm not sure she's the first person. I'll take a quick look to remind myself.
I am.
I believe there were. Are there two on the registration?
No, sir.
Okay, yeah. She's the sole person. Okay, well, just getting that clarified. She's the sole person on the registration. She was cited as the violator. Pursuant to the statute, she submitted an affidavit of allowable defense, and in that affidavit, she indicated that the vehicle was in the custody and control of William Davidson, gave his address and his date of birth. Based on that information that was back on September 5th, 2013, based on that information, the citation was dismissed against her, and then a citation was reissued against William Davidson in accordance with what's allowable by the statute. William Davidson came in at our last proceeding on November 12th, and he expressed that irregardless of the affidavit that he was not in possession, he had not been in possession, that he and Ms. Davidson were separated and he had not had possession of her car during the time period that she indicated in the affidavit.
And the date that this occurred was when?
The date of the violation was August 14th, 2013 at 4:57 p.m. Procedurally, we continued the case to bring Ms. Davidson in to be able to support her affidavit and handle the conflict between the two.
Okay. So who's driving your car?
Well, Your Honor, I submitted the paperwork. I don't know if you received it. It's to whom it may concern. And it states that I've actually submitted several things. My timesheet from work. Judge Breeze's docket for our case. So we technically did not separate until August 30th. And he had possession of my vehicle so that he could take it to go and get a check from a client for the landscaping business.
So you're telling me that what, your ex-husband had it?
Yes, he did. And I was at work.
And by whom were you employed?
Jonathan Rotstein.
And Mr. Jackson, refresh my recollection. What was Mr. Davidson's explanation?
Mr. Davidson's explanation is that was absolutely impossible. He was not in possession of the vehicle. They had separated. He had not been in possession of her vehicle. And what she indicated on the affidavit was untrue.
If your husband had your vehicle, how did he get a hold of it?
He dropped me off at that work that morning.
In the car?
In the car. He dropped me off, and he came back to pick me up. And that evening, he was actually late picking me up.
So he had your car, but he had it with your permission?
He did have my vehicle with my permission, yes, sir.
All right. And who could cite these cases?
Well, that's what the affidavit of allowable defense is for. That if someone has your car with your permission and they were at once in custody and control of the car at the time, that you're able to sign an affidavit and indicate that, and then that affidavit stands as testimony against that individual that they were once in possession and control of the vehicle when the vehicle was in violation of the statute.
So your testimony is you're at work all day, he drops you off, he has the car, he ran the red light.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if you actually have copies of the documents you made reference to. I don't have one in before me.
And Mr. Davidson's version was that Ms. Davidson had the car at the time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I have proof that I've submitted. I submitted Judge Bridges' document because he clearly stated that we were separated at the time. We were not separated at the time. We didn't separate until August 30th. And I also have record of my timesheet showing that I was at work on Wednesday, August 14th from 8 to 5 p.m. And apparently the citation was for August 14th, 4:57 p.m. And if you know Mr. Rothstein, we don't leave a minute early.
I don't know if you came across this or not in your file, Mr. Vakelja, but there is also an affidavit from Mr. Davidson. I don't know if this.
Did Mr. Davidson have a vehicle at the time?
No, sir, he did not.
So the only vehicle the two you had to use was yours?
That is correct.
You're testifying you're at work all day, and you're showing me your timesheets to say you're at work all day.
That is correct.
Or you released work up until 5 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
Okay, anything else you wanted to add?
No, sir, that'll be all.
Okay, have a seat.
Thank you.
Let's hear from Mr. Davidson. All right, Mr. Davidson, your ex-wife says she was at work. She's introduced into evidence timesheets indicating she was at work. Said you were driving the car at the time. What say, Mr. Davidson?
Can you just state your name and be sworn, please, real quick?
William Davidson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, take your hands out of your pocket, please.
Morning.
Ex-wife says you were driving.
That's a lie.
Okay, well, can you give me something a little bit more...
Well, I mean, she started this job in August. We were taking vacations for 2 months from money that her mom gave her.
4:57 p.m. Who was behind the wheel?
Either I was in Polk County or I was watching her kids.
Did you have a car?
I sold my transportation to pay for our wedding.
14th, what transportation did you have available to you?
That was my nephew's birthday, and I was watching her kids. And she's been taking her vehicle to work the whole month of August. I never drove her vehicle. Took her to work. She's a liar.
Okay. And so what vehicle did you have available to you on or about August 14th?
No vehicle. With her kids at the apartment. I took her care of her kids from... August, when she started this job, after we got back from a vacation, I took care of her kids the whole month. I took that vehicle one time to go pick up a check, and it was not on August 14th. August 14th was my nephew's birthday, and I was on Facebook, I remember, and it popped up. It was his birthday, and I had her kids with no transportation. And she tries to make herself look good, and it... I would be at work. If I'm guilty, if you can prove me to drive this vehicle, I'd pay the ticket. I wouldn't be here to debate this, period.
Ms. Vakelja, my best recollection from the last proceeding was that Mr. Davidson had said, I believe he was taking care of his grandfather in St. Petersburg. And
Polk County.
And you made it Polk County. You made it clear to him to bring whatever type of evidence, whatever he can to support what he was doing at that time and that date.
Yes, sir. I did. When I came...
Back then.
Excuse me?
I
have no reason to lie about where my whereabouts were. August 14, and from my recollection, I was with her kids. Her kids started school the 19th. She got a restraining order. She had me... She's just... I was not driving her vehicle. And that's the truth. That's the only way I know how to put it.
Okay.
I took care of her kids the whole month of August. I made them dinner. I got them ready for school. Everything. When she started going back to work. If that was me running the red light ticket, I would pay it, and I'd be done with it.
Your Honor, this is not the first ticket.
Just a second. Where was this intersection, by the way?
This was northbound Nova Road at George Ingram Boulevard.
And I drove past there. I've never drove down that street. And if I was to use her vehicle, I would go down International. I've never went past International going down Nova.
Where is 110 Dolphin Fleet Circle?
Five Horse and Big Tree Boulevard.
I'm sorry,
what? Five Horse and
Big Tree, it's the apartment building. All right, does the city have any other questions?
No, I have no other questions.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and find you liable.
Why is that?
Because last time you were here, you told me you were taking care of your grandfather. Now you're here taking care of her kids. She tells me
I've been on and off living out here with her.
She's indicating she was at work.
That's irrelevant because she could get a timesheet. She's lied a million times. I mean, I know her personally. I can tell you that.
I'm finding you liable. Finding you the $158 plus the sum of $100.
If you can't prove me behind that vehicle, why would I take time out of work to come here and debate this?
Because
you didn't believe a lying individual?
And you would probably walk across the Sahara Desert barefoot. Just okay. That's my first thought, but there's probably
okay,
more to it than that.
Okay, well,
so
that's...
I've got to make a decision. Then
you just judged her over me. That's wrong.
Okay. Anyway, the fine's going to be the $158 plus the sum of $100. Okay. This order will be printed up for you. Be ready for you in a moment. Case number 15, William P. Yeager.
Good morning.
Will you please state your name and be sworn?
William Yeager.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, Mr. Yeager, you're about to see a video.
This will be the red Toyota.
Red Toyota in the right lane?
Yes, sir.
Is there something you wanted to say other than guilty?
No, actually, my legal advisement stated that because of the speed limit, there is a time frame of which that yellow light must remain yellow. If you look at the video, it says that it was 0.9 seconds of red before I crossed that line. If you can count 0.9 seconds, I can't count 0.9 seconds.
So you have memorized yellow signals?
If you look at the video.
You can reasonably anticipate how much time you have to get through an intersection once the light turns yellow?
I should have stopped, yes. But as his advisement, that given the 45-mile-an-hour speed limit that there is, that the red light should, the yellow light should have been over 9 seconds long, which is not the case in this video.
Okay, let's head to the city.
It's not 9 seconds, and I do have the chart on that, but the relying on the video itself, the video is a 6-second video. It doesn't show the full time of of the light, but what the statute requires on this one, it's Bellevue. The FDOT minimum yellow light standard is 4.7 seconds, and that's on a 50-mile-per-hour posted speed limit. Our last test of that light showed an active yellow clearance time of 5.0 seconds, which is 3/10 of a second longer than the FDOT minimum.
Can we look at the video and see how long that yellow light is?
Yeah, he explained it's only 6 second video. It doesn't show the entire yellow light circle.
Well, then if they can't prove that that yellow light was...
We don't have to prove that. Our burden, we have to prove that you ran the red light.
Well, I mean, it's a red light camera, okay, so I don't know that it gauges the entire length of time. The attorney has just apparently certified that the yellow signal device was within the appropriate limits. So what's your suggestion? We need to prove how long it should remain yellow?
That's all that my attorney told me to say. I can clearly see that, yes, that I went over that line after the light turned red, yes.
All right. I'm finding you liable and finding you the sum of the ticket, $158 plus $100.
Could I ask you to waive the $100 fee?
Why would I do that?
I'm sitting here in front of you today. That's the reason. I can see that I obviously ran that light. I don't have that money. I'm in my last semester at college.
I will reduce the $100 fee to the sum of $50, which is what is mandatory, because once you contest the ticket, that requires that we convene all of these people, cameras, and what have you, so that is the administrative fee. So I will reduce the fine from the $158.100 to $158 plus $50.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Good luck to you. This is going to be printed up in just a second, and we'll be able to hand that to you.
Mr. Kelch, I don't believe you had the opportunity today, as you have in the past, to advise everyone of if they start to contest the effects of contesting versus not contesting.
I got started on the left foot. Well, I'm waiting for this order, folks. For those of you who are here, well, all of you are here on red light camera cases. As it stands right now, you're facing a $158 fine, and because you asked for this hearing, there will be an additional $50 charge. You're about to see video evidence that is usually pretty compelling. If you think you can overcome that with whatever you have to say, go for it. But if you do so, you run the risk of the fine being more than the additional $50 that you're already confronting. A lot of people who come here look at the videos and say, I'll just take the extra $50 and leave it at that. Some people want to contest, want to fight, want to argue. We get into a longer proceeding, we get into a longer hearing, and they run the risk of the fine ultimately being what, up to $250 as opposed to
yes.
So as it stands right now, you're looking at an additional $50. For your $50, sound like a car salesman here, will allow you to come forward and watch your video and see for yourself that, yes, that's your car, and yes, you ran a red light. And at that point, if you just want to quietly go into the night with your $158 plus $50, that's fine. We'll leave it at that. If you want to stay here and fight and argue about it, I'm just telling you, you're running the risk of the fine perhaps going up to $250. So I'm putting you on notice, because I would like for it not to get any worse for you than it probably already is. But in any event, you're here now. Take a look at your video, then decide. I was gracious to Mr. Yeager here, but I wouldn't count on a whole lot of that. Next case, Matthew Reiner. Yes, sir. Can you please state your name and be sworn?
Matthew Reiner.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Mr. Reiner, let's take a look. White truck?
Yes.
red light, white truck in front of the stop car. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Can I see it again?
Sure.
It's pretty close.
Hmm?
It turned red right as I was at it.
Well, it turned yellow before it turned red, you know.
All right, I'll just take it. Can I see the other one? I have two videos.
Are we finding Mr. Ryman liable? And the fine will be the $158 plus the $50 administrative fee.
All right, I should have another one.
Pardon?
I should have another one.
The one you just looked at was the one dated 8-4, $13 fee.
Oh, okay. Well, let's look at the next one.
And this one, 8-12.
You again?
Yep. It's my 30th birthday, and I'm here hanging out with you.
You're looking for a fault right there?
I'm sorry, did you stipulate to the next one? Was the second one also?
Well, yes, 158 plus 50.
Yeah. Good luck to you. Case number 3, Patricia E. Basciano is the respondent here. Patricia E. Basciano. All right. And don't we do the no-shows at 100?
Yes.
To be noted that Ms. Basciano fails to appear for her administrative hearing, not finding her liable, and fining her the $158 plus $100. Case number 4, James W. Dunlap. Yes, sir. Would you please state your name and be sworn?
Yes, my name is James Dunlap.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Dunlap, let's take a look.
A motorcycle.
Okay, let's
hear
the city.
Sir?
The city says that he built a stop at the stop farm and is liable.
Is it a right-hand turn?
Yes, it is.
Is this an intersection at which right-hand turns are permitted?
Yes, it is.
Let's say, Mr. Dunlap.
That motorbike was stolen from me before that infraction, sir.
Did you file an affidavit?
Excuse me?
Did we not send you a form affidavit to return?
Yes.
Did you do that?
Yes. I didn't I didn't have all the information they needed. It's kind of a complicated thing. And they couldn't accept the affidavit.
It was filled out as being in the custody and control of another person.
A person named Brian Odell, I believe his name was, bought that motorbike from me. I'm a snowbird. I sold that right before I left for New York, and then went on some jobs. I think I was up in Massachusetts at this point in time. And he never did re-register the bike. I was under the assumption that when I had him sign the back of the title and did everything that it said back there, I thought he was supposed to take it up and have that tag registered in his name. He didn't do that. And then I got him.
He filed an affidavit indicating a name and address with date of birth and driver's license unknown. And that's why it was rejected, because it didn't have sufficient information.
I was able to locate him. He was working at furniture store down on International, and talked to him one time, told him I was going to send him a copy of the affidavit or the violation, and he would take it to the police station, get it straightened out. He never did give me his email address, and he left the work, and he left where he was living, and haven't been able to find him since.
All right, so he submitted an affidavit, which you're telling me the affidavit's incomplete because he left trying to have the registration and all that with the fellow that he sold the bike to.
Right. And it wasn't reported as a stolen item, so it doesn't have a stolen, or if it was, it doesn't have the police agency or a report number and that stuff. You know, did you report it stolen?
Yes, I did, after I found out that that I had a violation, and then I found out it was stolen. And then I called the police here and told them. I was able to get my my registration voided or canceled or whatever they call it. That's all I've been able to do. Haven't been able to locate the man.
So in any event, you're telling me, you're testifying under oath that you have in fact reported to the police department that the bike's been stolen.
Yes, I did.
You have gone about the task of getting your name taken off the registration.
I did, yes.
And how did you come up with Mr. Odell's name?
I had written it down, when I sold it to him, I wrote it down. And when I found out that when I got this notice of violation, I was up in New York. I had returned home from a job. It had been a while because the letter had been sent by Florida address, then it had been forwarded up there. Then I came back from work, and there it was. Anyway, I got in touch with him then. And
he said he'd take care of it.
He said he would take care of it.
Had you sold this motorcycle to him?
Motorbike, yes, sir.
Were you on the day that this happened? Were you in Florida?
No, I was not in Florida at that time. No, sir. I was most likely up in Massachusetts. I work on lighthouse lenses, and I was up in Gloucester, Massachusetts, putting the first order lens up in a museum.
All right. So, in any event, we have an affidavit in which some information is provided, not all the information. Witnesses here testified that he sold the motorcycle and wasn't here at the time.
It's possible explanation. I spoke with the supervisor, and in this situation, the city would accept whatever the ruling of the magistrate. But we acknowledge that is a possible explanation.
All right. I'm going to find Mr. Dunlap not liable. Okay.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome. Good luck to you. Glenn J. Huckins.
Can you state your name, please?
Glenn James Huckins.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Huckins, let's take a look at our video.
Sir, didn't want to contest it. Speaking to counsel. they can't represent me until it goes as an official citation to county court. And I wanted to, can I do that? Can it be transferred as an official citation so it goes to county court where I have legal representation?
Why would you do that?
Well, they won't represent me here because it's not an official ticket yet. And this is the way they phrased it to me. If I want them as legal counsel where I don't have to go, they go and they do what they do, it has to be an official citation. There was a confusion when I got this. I called them. And what they wanted me to do is not respond and wait to get the official citation, which is what the letter says will happen. I misunderstood them and wrote back saying, no, I want a hearing or the official paper. And when I got it, I contacted them back saying, okay, I got the paper you wanted. And they're like, no, that's not, you were misinformed. You need an official citation, and at that point, we'll represent you in county court. But because I'd already done that, and it came before you, I couldn't do anything but show up today. And that's where I'm at.
Let's see.
Unfortunately, the request for hearing waives which to the benefit of the respondent, waives them going to traffic court, waives us turning this over to the traffic agency so that it remains an administrative proceeding. So we don't really have a mechanism for pulling it back once he's asked us to go forward in an administrative process.
Which is supposed to be kind of a break for you.
I've got confidence in my legal representation, and if, like I said, I it was just a misunderstanding. I would have followed through to where it says, do not respond, and you will be issued a uniform citation. Otherwise, I would have done that and went to the county court, or I wouldn't have, my representation would have.
Anyway, I presume the city is moving forward?
Yes.
You don't want to see your video, all right? And I'm going to find a respondent that's on $158 plus $50. Don't know where you go from there with that, but there you go. You have a seat. She'll have it ready for you in just a second.
Yes, if you... I didn't print one. Did I print two? You had left, so I didn't print two. You can find that one.
Daryl D. Williams.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Can you state your name, please?
Daryl D. Williams.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Williams, let's take a look at your video.
SUV, yes.
All right, what say Mr. Williams?
Sir, I will say that I did slow down enough to make sure there was not oncoming traffic. There was not, at that point in time, there was not a stop here on red in making that right turn. There was no pedestrians or any other car making a U-turn at that time. There is now a sign behind the West 92 sign that does now say stop here at red, which it wasn't there at that time. And I do have pictures to that fact.
You have pictures of what?
that there is a stop sign or a stop here on red now where there wasn't at that point in time to stop on a red light to make a right turn.
Mr. Jackson, is this an intersection at which right-hand turns are permitted?
Yes, it is, sir.
So we're back to whether it's a careful and prudent maneuver?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Replay that for me one more time, if you will. I am responsible, not liable. You'll have a seat for a second. She'll prepare an order for you, and that'll be the end of it.
Stacy Lynn McLaughlin Guy Gridge.
Stacy, can you pull that microphone down real quick? Thank you.
Stacy Lynn McLaughlin Guy Gridge. It's about ready to drop Guy Gridge, though.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Before we get started, we have four different citations.
Right.
Matthew R.
Deaver. Yeah, I don't.
Different dates.
Yeah, I don't need to see the videos. I know it's the car. I don't need to see the videos. I know it's the car. We do have a stolen report on the car with the Ormond Beach Police Department. I have a Volusia County Sheriff report, a Daytona Beach report, and the date the car was recovered, plus the state's attorney of the two boys that were arrested with the theft of the car.
Affidavit,
you don't, I do.
No, I don't have one. I will point out, I think you asked me just so it's clear that one occurred, the initial one was on the 19th of August,
right.
And then there were two on the 20th, and then a fourth one was on the 23rd. Period from August
19th through August 23rd. All right, let's show Michelle. Okay. On August 6th? Ma'am, I'm sorry. We just need to get your on the microphone for the record. So you can step up there, but let me just. Yeah.
Use of vehicle. Who's Matthew Giedrich?
That would be my husband.
Response to these?
Yes, I did.
Pardon?
Yes, I did.
Have you seen the affidavits?
No, I haven't.
Affidavit of allowable defense form?
No.
With the red light, they send you the form, and I sent all the forms to them.
Did you send them with your name or his name?
Stacy McLaughlin Giedrich.
Maybe why they didn't put it with a file because all of these weren't his name, but Stacy's.
Yeah, but the title and registration's in both.
I understand. But that maybe what.
Believe me, I wish it wasn't.
There's no other documents uploaded with this case.
Holly Hill said the same thing.
According to. I'll check each case just to make sure.
What is this Daytona Beach incident report of September 9, 2013?
Well, due to the car was supposedly loaned and not returned, we had to file a letter to the person with a return receipt. Then we could claim the car was then stolen and be able to be recovered by a police department. When we did Daytona, then they realized that it was an Ormond Beach matter. Ormond Beach then noticed that the original address where the incident takes place with the husband is actually Volusia County. Volusia County showed up at my house at 1 in the morning. Very nice lady. 3:30 in the morning tells me where to go find my car.
And so you ultimately retrieved your car when?
The yellow piece of paper.
Waffle House ISD towed from there to the compound. This is dated September 7, 2013. And then I have a correspondence from the state attorney notifying Ms. Giedrich, the state of Florida is proceeding against Vernon Demetric Jones and Daryl Tayari McGill for grand theft motor vehicle. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Tony. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say. Here you go.
Clearly, it's not the re-victimize someone who's been a victim of death. It's the time period to say that that was the period of the car could have been gone, and so on. We will go ahead and acknowledge those affidavits. I would expect that what happened is that the affidavits were not matched with the case because they were sent in her name and not in the name of the person who...
Well, he's kind of missing.
So we'll accept those affidavits as the basis of dismissal and move forward on the dismissal of the cases.
All right. With regard to all four of the cases against Matthew R. Giebrich, do you want to go through the citation numbers? Or?
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. Then finding the respondent not liable. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you. All right. The next case we have is Manuel A. De La Paz.
Manuel De La Paz.
You raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. De La Paz, let's take a look at your video.
It's like... No.
It's Wet Murphy Station wagon. That'll be turning right over here.
An intersection that permits right turns on red?
Yes, it is.
What say Mr. De La Paz?
Your Honor, I wasn't driving the car. I suffered a stroke on August the 8th, and I was recuperating from it.
You suffered a stroke when?
On August the 8th.
So who was driving your car?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Was your car stolen?
No.
The car was stolen, but you don't know who was driving.
No, the car was parked at my house. Supposedly, for what I know, the car was supposed to be parked in the house.
Supposedly what now?
Be parked at the house.
Okay, so who took your car?
I don't know.
Who had access to your car?
I don't know. I don't know, really.
Well, you're the owner of the car. Unless you can give us a plausible explanation as to who had it or who was operating it, you're on the hook for the ticket.
No, nobody was supposed to operate that car. You know, I can't tell you anything else. I checked with everybody that, and nobody said, you know, nobody admitted that it took the car out.
Okay. All right, I'm finding Mr. De La Paz liable, finding him the sum of $158 plus $50. Unless you're able to direct us to who actually had the car and was operating it at that time, you're on the hook for it.
How would I know? It's
your car and you're responsible for it.
But I left it on my house. It was parked on my house where I was recuperating from stroke. It's not that I was having a party or anything. I wasn't, you know.
You don't have to have a party. All we need to know is who was driving your car.
I can't tell you. I don't know. I ask everybody.
You reported stolen.
Because the car wasn't stolen. For what I know, the car was supposed to be parked at my house.
So whoever took your car brought it back?
It seems that way. Somebody must have been taken without my permission.
Well, I understand that. So tell us who it is, and we'll go after them for the ticket.
How can I tell you if I don't know?
Okay. All right. Have a seat. She'll print up the order for you. Any functional over here?
Yeah. The power cord came undone. That's just going to be it. Case number 13, Rosie P. Gibson. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's see the city.
Can we just make sure it's not a Keisha Cooper girl? I would have seen there been some additional information in the paperwork. Okay, if neither one's here, then city would ask that to be found liable.
Find the respondent liable. Order to pay the $158 fine plus the $50 administrative fee.
Plus the $100.
I'm sorry, plus the $100. Find the respondent to sum $158 plus $100.
Yes.
Okay.
They're not here. You can...
All right. Carolyn K. Gilbert.
Oh, that one was the one that was resolved.
And we did Mr. Yeager. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to Nicole L. Martinez. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. Find the respondent liable. Fine of the sum $158 plus $100. Yvette Santiago.
Morning.
State your name, please.
Yvette Santiago.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, Ms. Santiago, let's take a look at your video.
Moving on to the right thing.
Is it the first vehicle going through or the second?
Second.
Okay, what's saying, Ms. Santiago?
Your Honor, there was no cars coming, and it was safe for me to go through.
So you're going to try to tell me you did that in a careful and prudent manner?
Yes.
And hers is the first car through?
No, it was the second car through.
Because unlike video, it just doesn't seem as much of a pause in it.
No, I slowed down. I was looking. That's a big intersection on Nova and International. And there weren't any cars coming. There weren't any pedestrians, there weren't any cars, there weren't any bicyclists. That's the right turn only lane there.
All right. Finding you not liable.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You'll have a seat. We'll prepare an order for you. Simon Shamalov. Anyone here for the respondent? Can I find Mr. Shamalov to be liable? Find him the sum of $158 plus $100. Robert Tretch.
Robert Tretch.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Tretch, let's take a look at the video.
Right hand lane.
That black truck?
Yes, sir.
Say, Mr. Tretch.
That's me.
Okay.
But it's a right on red corner of Nova and Bellevue.
So, in other words, you're telling me it's at an intersection in which it's legal to make a right hand turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, and I observed that apparently there was no traffic coming from your left because of the fact that apparently the turn lane indicators have been activated. And I didn't see any car making a U-turn into your area. So you want to be heard on this matter?
No, I think
that... I assume you're going to tell me you didn't knock any pedestrians over when you made that turn.
No, sir.
All Mr. Tretch, not liable.
Thank you, sir.
If you'll have a seat, she'll prepare an order for you. I have miscellaneous business. Troy A. Buffalo Board.
Oh, did you get number 20?
Oh, I'm sorry. Case 20, John A. Whitson.
Denise Franco.
Sorry, what is your name?
Denise Franco.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And what is your affiliation with Mr. Whitson?
I'm his fiancé.
Okay.
We received the notice last Friday, so we did not have time to request for a continuance. And Dr. Whitson was not able to reschedule the morning patients. So I came instead to try to resolve this. In the meantime, I just got a message that he had finished with the last patient, and I told him to rush over here. So if he must be present to answer, he's in his way. The appointment was for 10:30. That's why, you know, it was impossible for him to be here. But it is right turn on red, same case that you saw so many before.
All right, what do you want to do, counselor? You want me to view the video, or you want to just wait on, is it Dr. Whitson?
Yes.
Or wait on Dr. Whitson?
Generally, I'd be more generous. I have a 1 o'clock, we have like cameras over in traffic court, both me and these officers, and so that delay is of concern.
Let's play the video.
Yeah, that's
step forward in the right hand.
Careful and prudent manner. That is no pedestrian, no cyclist. The light for the other turn was on, so it's impossible for any incoming traffic on that direction. No U-turn. And looks like he even stopped, but not completely. Looks like he even stopped, but not completely. I mean, the brake lights is on.
Before you do that, if I could just say one thing concerning this one, because this is probably more of a concern I raised before. While I would agree that we can't see anything impeding him, what we can see is that the traffic that's going whatever direction it is to the left at that intersection is flowing traffic, and the decision for someone to make a U-turn is lawful and proper without any consideration of whether or not this person or anticipation that this person will continue driving through that turn. And so it's hard to see how that would be a safe or prudent on a traffic safety statute, how that would be a safe and prudent maneuver to continue while those vehicles would have a lawful right to continue and to swing on around.
Well, the car is in
intersection where that occurs.
The car is already halfway in the street. At that point, I don't see them making a U-turn. If any car would be making a U-turn, you would not see on that video. They are halfway in the street already.
Until the driver stops and makes an actual visual determination that that's not happening, it could happen. And the only one who has the duty to stop and keep that from happening is the person who's coming up to that light. No one else has the duty to stop.
Well,
I don't think that the cars that is crossing at that point, their intention is to make a U-turn. Their intention is to just make the turn into International Speedway.
I know respondent not liable.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll have a seat. She'll prepare an order for you in just a minute. Now I have miscellaneous business. Troy A. Buffalo Horn.
Just ask one question. Susan Welch, is that a reschedule or something?
Yes. Basically, what had happened was they had sent in, she tried to pay the citation before last month's hearing, and they didn't process it in time before the hearing. So when no one appeared, we basically entered an order that they didn't appear, and so they were willing to pay the $208, but they couldn't pay the $208 because you had ordered the $258. So really, we're just looking for an amended order allowing the $208 to be paid, and then they'll be able to accept the $208.
Well, based on the based on the stipulation of the city, then I'll amend our previous order of holding notice of violation to reduce the administrative cost portion from $100 down to $50 for a total amount of $208. Is that all you needed?
I believe so, yes. U.S. Transportation? I believe I did. I printed. I did one. I don't know if I printed it. It should be in the top. That was. Okay. Okay.
Sit here and let Tony yell at me about that ruling for a while.
You know, actually, I wanted to say thank you for putting that much thought and consideration to it. It's a tough thing to rule on. I mean, was actually a little frustrating for me when I stopped it.
Do you want to still remain on the record, Mr. Calder?
Pardon?
Do you want to still remain on the record? Or do you
anything else to be brought before the special magistrate, red light camera, proceed?
I don't think so.